Welcome to the Same Gang Podcast. As we talk to Rich Renner, a podcast he wants to do this week, as Midwestern State's coming off a win. That had to feel really good Saturday night to get that win over Kingsville. And not only you won, but the way you won it.
Yes, sir, Pete. I mean, it was obviously I was very happy for our team and our coaches and our players and the university. But, you know, it was exciting to see how the kids, finally – put together all three phases, you know, offense, defense, and special teams, and came together to beat a really good football team. Coach Pard does a great job with Kingsville, and obviously they came in 2-2 and had played some really good teams as well. And I know they'd, you know, beat some teams that they should have won, but played some other teams that they could have beaten really close. And so I think, you know, they've got a very talented team, well coached, and to come out with a victory Saturday night was definitely impressive.
Well, the play of the game was Sadae Alant's punt return for a touchdown, and he's getting national recognition, the Division II National Special Teams Player of the Week, Lone Star Conference Special Teams Player of the Week. But when you go back and look at the tape, Christian Elijah and James Cooper deserve part of that award because they threw big blocks on that return.
Most definitely. They had a couple pancakes there and did a great job freeing Mr. Lott up. And so, again, you know, Coach Frazier talked all week about, you know, if we could block these certain guys that were always down there making tackles on the film, that we had a shot and there was going to be a lane open. And with Lott's speed and his ability, that we felt like we could score at least one touchdown. And, you know, he only got two kicked to him. You know, the other ones were out of bounds and what have you. And the first one he got kicked to him, he didn't get any yards on. But the second one he made the best of it. And I was actually shocked they did kick it to him. You know, usually in that situation, you know, when the game's close like that, you probably want to, you know, try to kick it out of bounds and not let them have a return and make them go the distance offensively. And I felt like their defense was playing pretty solid, you know, other than the last, you know, drive there that we went down and scored to tie the game up. But
well, that was a 12-play, 76-yard drive. That as good a drive as you've had all year, probably.
Most definitely, you know, and I thought Sean did a great job of managing the offense and getting it to the right, you know, players. And in the offense, you know, Coach Bryan did a great job putting those guys in the best position possible to be successful. And so I was excited to, you know, that we were not only able to score the touchdown, but also to get the two-point conversion to tie it up.
Do you have certain plays that you like for the two-point conversion? I remember asking Bill Maskell this one time, and he said, no, we got the whole playbook. Are there certain plays you like to run down there in the two-point circumstance?
Most definitely. I mean, we work on those two-point plays, like I said, once a week. We work red zone. We work, goal line. We work, two-point plays. And we're always trying to – or I'm always trying to put, you know, us in those situations where we can work on those, whether it's a two-minute drill, one-minute drill, a two-point play situation, overtime, whatever the case may be, that we have to, that we might come across throughout the year. And so, unfortunately, you know, we had a red zone stop that we had to do there at the end to win the game, to secure the game, I should say. And then we had a, I wouldn't say a two-minute drive, but, you know, a 12-play drive that we had to put together and get down there to score, to tie it up, and then give ourselves a chance with the two-point conversion to make it all even. So, again, I think those scenarios, you never know when those are going to pop up, but those situations, and so you've always got to be ready for those situations.
Well, there was a lot of big plays in that game, but when you start looking at the box score, one of the things that jumps out is red zone, because Midwestern State 4-for-4 in the red zone, A&M Kingsville 1-for-4. So your red zone defense really showed up big.
Most definitely, and that's something, like I said, we've been working on the last couple of weeks, is getting better in the red zone. And I was proud of our kids for stepping up in the red zone. I know we shouldn't have let them down there, but the thought process, you know, as they were driving on us was, hey, you know, not to give up the big play, to make them earn it, you know, waste as much clock as we could.
Yeah, use the clock up, yeah.
And so we wanted to, you know, play, more coverage-based than stopping the run. And they did a great job of running the football. What got us in trouble was us coaches trying to substitute there after play number two, and they hit a receiver across the middle because we were all in panic mode. And, and then they added 5 yards onto that, which took it down to closer to the, you know, inside the red zone, but then obviously closer to the 8-yard line, and then they had first and goal at the 8-yard line. So, again, that was a coaching mistake. That was not a player mistake. And, you know, and so we've got to get that corrected. But with that being said, you know, I was still proud of our kids. They had first and goal at the eight. You know, they could have panicked. They could have, you know, pointed the fingers or blame game or thought, oh, here we go again. But I felt like the sideline, I felt like the coaches, I think we all believed that we were going to stop them. We believed we were going to keep them out. And you know, and I felt the same way. I mean, it was one of those deals that I knew that we could stop them. We'd stopped them earlier in the red zone. I said in the game we had stopped them earlier on fourth and one when we, you know, they normally probably would have got a first down earlier in games during the year. And I just felt like our defensive line was playing and our linebackers were fitting, really well in the game so that we could stop the run if they were going to run it, but also, too, we were good enough in the passing game that we'd worked on, you know, those close quarters in the goal line area so that we were ready for that scenario.
Ethan Dishman breaks up a pass, and Jalen Broadus breaks up two passes down there in what was one of the most exciting games we've seen in a while for Midwestern State. And to come out on the winning side of it made it even better.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Have you sensed a change in the mood in the football office in the last 48 hours?
Most definitely. Most definitely. I think not just, with the kids, but with the coaches as well. Obviously, the coaches are still working hard and working their tail off, which I appreciate all the coaches and the hard work that they bring, because obviously, you know, you can't do it by yourself as a head coach, but you're only as good as your assistants and your players. But nevertheless, I mean, just the whole morale around there when you get a W finally, and just it's interesting because when I had my senior meeting, there wasn't a lot of complaints at all. You know, where before
it's funny how that works.
The last 4 weeks, they always had a little chime in on something that they thought they wanted to tweak or correct or didn't like or whatever the case may be. But it was silent this past senior meeting. So
John Madden used to say, "Winning's a great deodorant."
That's exactly right. It is. It definitely is true.
Do you think that you can take that win? Can it spur you going forward?
Well, I just, you know, I definitely can, but it's a double-edged sword. You know, once you made that win, and now we feel like, man, we put all that work into it to get that win, and now, you know, do we slack off or do we continue to press on? And that's what I'm, you know, staying on our kids about is, you know, pressing on and getting better, because even though we won the football game against a really good football team, there were still a lot of mistakes made. There was more penalties than we've had in any.
You had been one of the least penalized teams, not only in the LSC but in Division II. Mm-hmm. But the penalty bug kind of showed up the other night.
Most definitely. And there's a few there that we, you know, obviously question, you know, like you do on any game. You always question a few calls here or there. But nevertheless, there was a lot of penalties. So that was number one. And like I told you, four of those were on our – was on players and coaches that were, you know, preventable. So, you take 13 down to 9, and then there's some other ones there that, you know, we had some false starts with a new center. We had, you know, a pick play that was questionable. And then, you know, we've got a face mask that an unsportsmanlike late hit on the quarterback that by the same kid, two 15-yarders that wasn't back-to-back, but it was throughout the game. And so those things add up. And then the excessive celebration, or I wouldn't say excessive celebration.
It could have cost you the game.
But it could have cost us. You know, we had to kick from the 20.
Because you had kids leave the sideline and go onto the field and got penalized there. I mean, it's an exciting moment. I understand what led to it.
But yes, sir.
All of a sudden, you're kicking off from the 20-yard line.
Most definitely. And we talked about that, you know, in our team meeting on Monday. And hopefully we, you know, the kids understand that and get that corrected. And, again, I appreciate the excitement. We talk about, you know, the juice on the sideline and having energy and everything else. And to be honest with you, Pete, we really haven't had a lot of that energy on the sideline because we haven't done much defensively or offensively to produce that. And so I think it was just so, you know, it's building up. But like you said, in a close ball game like that, you know, you got to act like you've been there before and understand that there's still rules and you have to maintain those rules.
It is kind of a chicken or egg thing, isn't it? Because you need the juice to have success, but you need success to create the juice.
Amen.
So it's kind of an interesting dynamic. It's like confidence.
Yes, sir.
You got to have success to have confidence, but you can't have success without confidence.
That's right.
So it's a weird dynamic that's in play there. You've got Sol Ross coming up. What can you tell us about the Lobos?
Well, you know, Coach Lee Hayes is doing a fine job trying to build that program up, and he's playing with a lot of young kids. I know they got a lot of transfers as well, but they're playing with a lot of freshmen a lot of freshman, sophomore kids. You look at the roster, you look at the depth chart, and he's you know, doing a great job of getting those kids motivated, playing hard, and trying to get them a win. You know, they're 0-5, and going into this game, just like we were 0-4 last week. You know, we wanted to get that first win, and they're, you know, obviously want that first win as well. And so, you know, they're going to be coming out playing hard. They're multiple as an offense. They're a two back. They're a one back. You know, quarterback went out. I don't know if he'll be back or not for this game, but obviously went out in the West Texas game. They brought their backup in, and hopefully he's back. You know, because he's a senior, and you know, you hate that for the seniors to get hurt and miss any games. But you know, they're very talented. They're going to be very good down the road, and you know, they're a dangerous team. These are teams you worry about as a coaching staff, you know, that that any moment can play a perfect football game and beat you. And so, you know, we've definitely got to continue to focus on us and us getting better and executing, you know, the offense, defense, or the special team call, and us continue to eliminate the mistakes that we talked about early and the penalties, and again, continue to work harder and get better as we go along.
You're talking about Sol Ross being a young team, but you got a lot of freshmen making plays.
We do. We're a young team as well. I didn't plan on that, Pete, when we started the season out. But when you have injuries and you know, things happen in the course of a season, you know, that sometimes happens. And these young bucks are I'm very proud of them. You know, they're still learning. They're still growing. They're working their tail off, and I don't think they realize that they're freshmen out there, and they didn't play like freshmen. I mean, they're really, and that's what I'm saying. They're kind of growing up in this week five, you know, week, and then now week six that we're going into with Sol Ross. I mean, a lot of these young kids are growing up, and now they're getting, you know, they've had a lot of repetition, and they're starting to get it and understand the defense and the offense and the philosophy, and you're starting to see where they're playing faster because they're not thinking, they're not processing, they're reacting, and especially on defense. And so I'm excited for that.
What's the approach at quarterback this week?
Well, I think the approach at quarterback is, you know, it's a good one. I mean, we've got a good competition there with that quarterback position, and I still think that it's an open.
So you're not going to give me a name.
I'm not going to give you a name today, but you know, as we get closer and closer to game time,
is Longino back in the picture?
You know, he is working to get back into the picture, I would say. I mean, he's still not practicing yet, but we're hoping to get him back here soon, and hopefully get him into the mix as well. And you know, I wouldn't say that. Sean did a great job, especially on the last drive. You know, he throws a pick. Josh had a fumble.
He had that one impulse pass where he just kind of threw it up for grabs down there. Hey, I don't blame him. They hit the guy with the football. Get rid of it. I know Bill Parcells used to talk about impulse passes. You just can't throw that pass. But other than that, I thought he played pretty well. And the interception that Thomas threw, it was a hot potato. It got – juggled around.
Yes, sir. Went through the hands of Mr. Lott, and
he did his job. He hit his receiver in the hands.
That's exactly right. You know, and then what hurt us was the fumble, you know, that Josh had, and I hated that to see that. But again, adversity happened, and our kids overcame that adversity, and we got that touchdown back, and then 2-point conversion.
It really was kind of a blessing in disguise, because it could have been that fumble did you in. As it got scooped up and returned for a score by A&M Kingsville, your team could have put their head down, put their tails between the legs, and just go, we're just snake bit, you know. But they didn't do that, and they showed you a little bit coming out of that.
Most definitely, and I think that shows a sign of character with the players that we have. I think that, when that happened, I don't remember one coach, I don't remember one player, you know, saying anything negative. I think there was very positive talk on the sideline, and I can't tell you, Longino of all people comes down, tells me, Coach Renner, you know, we're gonna get that touchdown back. And I just think that was the whole mentality of the team, was that we were not gonna be denied. We were gonna keep fighting, and we were gonna do whatever it took to win the football game. And so that's why I was so proud to see not only, you know, defensively, that we had four turnovers in that first half, which, you know, you wish.
Which, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up, because those weren't gifts. People talk about forced turnovers. These were forced turnovers. you guys were laying some wood out there. You were knocking the ball out of their hands. That had to be a point of emphasis.
Well, it was, but also, too, it's those kids. I mean, you got James Cooper knocking the ball out. You've got Broadus knocking the ball out. I mean, you've got, trying to think, Bryce Lewis, which was, a kid just coming off of injury that knocked the ball loose. And so, Cam DeVault hitting the quarterback and stripping the ball, and Vega recovering it, which is another freshman. But my point in saying that was, you're right. I mean, the physicality, and that's, again, preaching that we, need to be more physical. And that comes with, in my opinion, playing with confidence that you talked about a minute ago. You can't have success without confidence, confidence without success, and they go hand in hand. And so I felt like at the second half of the Permian Basin game that I mentioned earlier, that we had success, and I kept trying to teach these young men and build on that and show them that, hey, you know what, we just played with a top 11th ranked team in the country in the second half, when we decided to play the Mustang way. And now if we continue to play four quarters of the Mustang way, let's wait and see what happens.
So what is the Mustang way?
Well, the Mustang way is just playing all out, relentless, playing 100%, flying around to the football, being aggressive, being disciplined, doing the right things out there on the football field. And again, we didn't play totally the Mustang way with all these penalties that I mentioned earlier, but the physicality, the hustling to the ball. I mean, Makai Prosper does not intercept that ball that Broadus knocks out into the air. It doesn't fall in his lap if he's not hustling to the ball. If he's still at the line of scrimmage, because that was at least 5 to 8 yards down the field when Broadus hit him, and that ball popped out right into his hands right at the beginning, which was a huge turning point, to start the game off, kind of set the tempo and the tone, which is what we needed defensively, because defensively, let's be honest, has not been present in the first 4 weeks. And I would say first 4 weeks. Yeah, I'd say first 4 weeks. I mean, it started to come present a little bit in the second half of the Permian Basin game, but at least three and a half games,
yeah.
It hasn't been present. And so, trying to get the defense and those young guys and the guys to buy into what we're teaching and the coaches are implementing and seeing the success, because that's always how you get them hook, line, and sinker, is that you got to have success behind it. And so once they started seeing the success, then it just spread like wildfire within the team.
It seems like James Cooper's found a spot on this team now. He started out, we saw him at quarterback here. He played a little bit of receiver. He seems to like hitting people.
He does, and I'm just proud of James because, it was hard for, obviously going from quarterback to receiver, that was a long talk James and I had because, he always wanted to be a quarterback and thought he was the best, quarterback, and making that transition was very difficult. A decision that he had to, swallow his pride a little bit and do, and he did. And he did with flying colors, and I appreciated that for him. And then he just really didn't get an opportunity last year with the receiver for whatever reason. I don't know why that Coach Twiner didn't play him very much. And I played him on special teams, and he did a great job for me and made some plays on punt and special teams. And so, I'm thinking, okay, this is his year, new offensive staff, and going through the spring and learning a new offense. And he still just wasn't getting reps. And when we started losing safeties, he was the first one that came to mind that say, hey, let's see if he'd be willing to make that change. And 2 weeks ago he did. And I'm thankful and blessed that he did. And again, against Permian Basin that first half, he was a fish out of water, and he was starting after just 3 days of defensive back play and tutoring ship. But obviously this last week he felt more comfortable and made some big hits, like you said, and did a great job. And again, I'm just proud of all these kids because, they're really, really playing selfless football, and that's what we need to have happen. And so I'm just proud of these kids for getting some success behind that.
Well, let's get back-to-back wins now.
Well, that's our goal. Is to get back-to-back wins, Pete. And again, I just appreciate you and Cam for all that you guys do, and appreciate the Mustang Nation and again, supporting us and all the prayers that were out there. And again, as always, go Mustangs.
Well, after that scoop and score, Coach, the broadcast booth may not have been as positive as some of you guys down on the bench. we might have been a little more skeptical about what was going to happen next. But thanks for flipping the script on us. We enjoyed it. That was a great football game. And we look forward to more of them. And Midwestern State's on the road this week. They'll be back home. They've got back-to-back road games before they come back home for homecoming. And you can follow the Mustangs at MSUMustangs.com. Thanks for listening to the Stang Gang podcast. Be back with us next week. Tell your friends about the podcast and make your plans to be at Memorial Stadium this fall. I'm Pete Stein. So long.